Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
8, 7.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Miranda Morales, your host of the hashtag Miranda Show. I go by many names. Of course, the queen of soft style, the ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants herself, and a few others that I don't always quite remember. But there's a lot of them, and maybe some of them that I don't know that other people call me. Who knows? But I like to call myself, first and foremost, the host of this show. So thank you so much for listening to the hashtag Miranda Show this week. We have a really interesting topic to go over. I think it's one that is really unique, one that's been out there over the past week, and one that has some implications, not only in the next few months, but the future of wrestling. So very excited for that. Before we get into things, though, I would like to bring in my co-host and my... It's funny the analogies that he uses to describe our friendship, but yes, we've only been best friends, the bestiest of friends, for almost a year and a half now. But you know, friends till the end, friends forever. So I'd like to bring in Greg DeMarco.
Didn't know you were gonna go there. You don't usually go there when you bring me in on the show.
So, no, yeah. I know. It's usually condescending or mean or funny, but
I know.
You know, you just get me in the feels. You know, I just am all, you know, in the feels. And some of that is because, you know, we're celebrating 1 year from us being at the Royal Rumble.
We just
had the 2020 Royal Rumble. It brought back a lot of memories.
I didn't want to say this.
2019 Royal Rumble.
I didn't want to say this on the Greg DeMarco show because, you know, Patrick gets all butthurt at the drop of a hat.
Yes.
To, you know, with the setup, I mean, of the 2020 Royal yes. Rumble, the entry, everything. I kind of felt like it was 2019 Royal Rumble Night 2.
Yes.
Is really what it looked like. Like, it was like it just kept going.
Very similar. Yeah, identical literally, setup. So
even
actually
tweak one or two matches, the matches were in the same place. Like, the Women's Royal Rumble was a little earlier. Daniel Bryan was the same exact spot on the card that he was last year. The Royal Rumble main evented it. Like, just so many similarities. You had Becky Lynch and Asuka again. Obviously, we didn't have Edge returning, but besides that, like, we had a lot of... Yeah, it was just eerily similar what they did. And I love the current Royal Rumble. I'm excited about it. And yeah, that was a year ago. What, today? No, yesterday. A year ago yesterday. So
yesterday, yeah. Yes.
That's
yesterday.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Adam Cole didn't appear either time.
Yeah, and Adam Cole was not there.
Nope.
Wow.
I know. He didn't even wrestle TakeOver either.
He's still a bitter boy.
I'm not bitter.
Yeah, he was.
Between the two of us, one person has interviewed Adam Cole twice. And I'm not going to name names, but it's me. And
But you wanted to see him, and you're a little bitter you didn't get to see him.
You're damn right.
You had two opportunities.
Ain't no little bit about it. But he did come out at the end of TakeOver. It wasn't the same,
though. He did.
We got this informally, but we didn't get an official. But hey, life goes on. But we're here to talk about 2020. No, we're not. What am I saying? You got a different topic. I'm way off base
actually,
right now.
Well, actually, you know what, though? I have a quick segue
okay.
Because that's what we do here.
You're gonna journalism. You're going to hashtag journalism.
Yeah, so remember when
– Nope, I don't.
They set up this big four-on-four match at the end of TakeOver last year, TakeOver Phoenix.
Right.
To set up halftime heat.
Yeah, the six-man tag.
I'm really disappointed that we have no halftime heat this year. That was a good match.
That was a good match.
And easy. And it seemed like just so easy. They just, you know,
I wonder if there's just, you know, too much stuff going on right now. Maybe they'll announce something tomorrow night on NXT. Who knows? You know, it's
who knows, but I doubt that's way too short of a notice. Like,
it's a 3-day difference from what they did last year. Come on now, and they could, because it'd be on the WWE Network. It is interesting though. I would have loved to have seen yet another halftime heat, but hey, I'll talk a little longer while we're in the yawns. Because it's you know, yeah.
Breaking the fourth wall. People didn't know I was yawning. Was this not a video cast, Greg? You don't have to tell people I'm yawning.
You're welcome.
I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah, that was not the right button anyway.
What I'm shocked about is that I didn't yawn when you yawned, because yawning is contagious, heavily contagious.
It is. And everybody knows. Yeah. It's scientific.
So,
it's science.
Quick funny story. When I was a freshman in college at Virginia Tech, I was taking a engineering chemistry class because I was a chemistry major. And this is before I met the lovely and talented Mrs. DeMarco, by the way. I'm only saying that because she's down here and she can hear this story right now, though she's heard it before. So we were in engineering chemistry and we were sitting. It was one of the bigger classrooms. I think this one held like maybe 100 people, maybe 200 people. And there were three sections, and I was off in the section on the right where I often sat, probably about three quarters of the way back. And there was a female towards the front, maybe one of the first three rows. And probably people paid more attention to her than the instructor, which is probably why I didn't do very well in that class. And had to retake it the summer before my senior year in college. Anyway, so everyone's watching this person. The wife's shaking her head at me. She yawns. And after she yawns, probably about 13 guys immediately start yawning, because yawning is contagious. And so if you're focused on somebody and they yawn, you are going to yawn too. So, yeah, it was just proof. That was my scientific lesson that day, was that it was scientifically proven that yawning is contagious. And that's your science lesson for this week's hashtag Miranda
Show. Science lesson. Wild card, bitches!
Yeah! But I digress.
Who said the show wasn't educational? So who, you know, you're
I think
a liar,
we may have said that.
I will find you. People learn a lot.
That was a short version, because I know we're in a bit of a time crunch. You know what we said? We're in a time crunch, which means it'll be like the longest episode ever.
The longest. No, you have talked about wrestling, I think, the quickest.
Because we're 8.5 minutes in.
And we actually talked about wrestling already.
We did.
So I feel like this is really
good. We got some promo spots we got to do. We can do those later. Buy a t-shirt, ProWrestlingTees.com/chairshot, PowerSlam.tv, promo code chairshot. We'll do that at the end. But yeah, let's – you know, I'm excited. Did we cover enough of the Rumble, though? Were there other things you wanted to talk about? You know what? Why am I asking this question? It's your freaking show.
Yeah.
You do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow. See, this is the tricky part about doing this show after the Greg DeMarco show, because he just thinks this is the Greg DeMarco show wrap-up show, like Howard Stern
the post show.
His own wrap-up show. He treats it as that because he's already, like, still in producer mode, like still, like, you know.
I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that, but now I kind of want to after saying that. Like, I want a wrap-up show for the Greg DeMarco show.
No, so, you don't need a wrap-up show. This is not your wrap-up show. Don't do that.
So can I reveal something? You know, I didn't talk about this. Well, it's funny you say that. So I want to talk about something. I didn't reveal this during the Greg DeMarco show. I think I alluded to it to you and to Patrick as well in the past. But with this move, as we announced on the Greg DeMarco show, we are moving to eWrestlingNews.com. When I say we, I mean all of the Chair Shot. It's not like I'm abandoning my own website. It's like I'm leaving the Chair Shot. I can't really do that, as Miranda so eloquently put back in December. Chair Shot's still the Chair Shot.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
But with the move over, we want to keep the ChairShot brand alive. And it's very important to me. And eWrestling News is 100% behind that. That's eWrestlingNews.com. Go ahead and bookmark it. You know how we would always try to come up with a new name for the Greg DeMarco show and it would never work?
Yeah. And, yeah. Never work.
Guess what?
No, we're yep. not doing it.
We are doing it.
No.
We are doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it.
The reason why I am in so much agony is that Greg is alluding to another name change to his show, which has not been successful ever, which is why it's always switched back to the Greg DeMarco show.
So as part of as part of my efforts to keep the ChairShot brand alive, I fully intend on renaming the Greg DeMarco show. We used to have this show at thechairshot.com, but it could never stay alive. Making our show ChairShot Radio, and finally having a ChairShot Radio that can consistently run on a weekly basis, week in and week out. When I first started the ChairShot and I got somebody to do ChairShot Radio, they were like, why don't you make your show ChairShot Radio? And I was like, I could, but I didn't really want to. I wanted to give it to somebody else because I thought they could carry that torch, and they didn't, and then other people didn't, and it's had like three different incarnations. Maybe it's cursed and I shouldn't do it, but I don't believe in that kind of stuff, so yeah. What no one knows that I will reveal here is that I fully intend to then, throughout the week, record my own solo show. That would be the Greg DeMarco show. So there would actually be a Greg DeMarco show. I don't know what it would
just
entail.
Greg DeMarco.
Right, it would actually live up to its name. Like, it would actually just be a show with Greg DeMarco.
Just Greg.
So that just Greg. Is what the lovely and talented Mrs. DeMarco texted me, by the way. Apparently she's never heard that story that I just shared. So
Well, that sounds like a personal problem for you, man. You got to be careful about what kind of stories you reveal about college in front of your wife.
I mean,
rule number one.
What you didn't actually say what the rule was.
What? Never. What's rule number one? You know, be careful about the stories you.
I don't think that's rule number one. I really don't think that's rule number one.
Rule one of many. You didn't even let me finish my sentence.
You didn't finish your sentence. Don't give me that. You
I
never
did.
Let me finish.
Look, I had a dramatic pause. That was a dramatic pause. A dramatic pause as I'm trying to tell you, you know, how to watch out for yourself. You're so busy talking about all your radio shows, all 15 that you have. and to give the fans a little bit of background. So Greg announced it on the Greg DeMarco show earlier today, that thechairshot.com will be moving content over, specifically the articles, the podcasts, you know, a lot of the content on thechairshot.com. All of it will be going to eWrestlingNews.com. So we're going to be moving. We got the boxes ready and we'll be moving over to a new website. But as Greg mentioned, you know, rest assured, you will still get all of the podcasts that you enjoy, including the Greg DeMarco show, including the Hashtag Miranda show, all of the other shows that are available, such as the Badlands, Bandwagon Nerds, Attitude of Aggression, Pod is War, all of the great podcasts that are on the ChairShot Radio Network will be coming to eWrestling News. So the move will be happening fairly soon, and we will continue to update all of the fans on the ChairShot through the ChairShot.com, through social media. And it's a really exciting move to be able to be on a larger platform or larger website like eWrestling News. They specialize, you know, in news, reviews, and so they also hold the standards that the ChairShot.com has, which is, you know, very important. One thing that I think as a website, specifically Greg, but a lot of the people that he brings on really values, you know, wrestling news analysis and opinions. So yeah, you know, that we'll just be able to live in a bigger house. We're moving on up. We got a fancier house. So, you know,
it's true.
I still know you, but you know, I just now live in a bigger house.
Yeah. I still know you, but I live in a bigger house. You did so much of a better job explaining that than I did during the first show. I should have just had you explain it. The biggest thing you talked about when I said everything's coming over, that was a big part of the deal, too. It wasn't like, hey, you guys can just take some of it. Like, it was literally an all-or-nothing thing for me. Like, you know, no child left behind is really what it was when the move was in the potential stages. It was definitely, I didn't want to leave anyone hanging. If someone chose not to come over, that'd be one thing, and there were one or two people I was worried about who have other commitments that didn't conflict with the chair shot. I didn't know if they would conflict with the wrestling news. They don't, thankfully, and so everyone's coming over. But yeah, there's literally no issues there. So, but we got topic to talk about. So let's topic away.
The reason why Greg is so excited about this is this is a topic that he, you know, has talked about and wrote an article on and totally believes he's right about. So that's also why he's very excited. Any opportunity for him to gloat about being right, he likes. But that's not why I chose this topic. I think it's a very interesting direction that the WWE is going in with this decision, how it was set up, and also the bigger implications outside of the WWE. I have an interesting perspective on this as well, regarding the landscape of this currently and how it involves some other promotions. So the overall story on this is WWE deciding to rebrand the NXT Women's Championship, removing the term woman or women's, and just referring to it now as the NXT Championship. That's kind of the big headline around this, but I want to get into kind of a step back as to how some people think that this came about, which was a statement that Becky Lynch made on WWE Backstage regarding her view on the women's division and the terminology on labeling it the women's division. So I have here her quote from when she was on WWE Backstage. I believe this was just last week.
Or two weeks ago. I think it was... I think it was last week.
Last week, yeah. So, in her own words, as she's describing the women's division, the term women, women's division, she said, the best thing for the women's division right now is that we eliminate the term women's. It's now starting to hold us back. We're now going, this is the women's segment. This is the women's thing. Why do we need that division? We need people. We need characters. We need people looking for the main event spot, not the top women's spot, the top spot. What are people doing to be on the covers of video games and cereal boxes, whatever it is? It shouldn't be an issue at this point. We're past making history. We've made all the history. Let's normalize it. She did make a statement on Twitter the next day because there was some fan, you know, fair and feedback regarding eliminating the term women's from women's division. And in that, she said, my comment about removing the word women from the conversation wasn't about renaming a division. It was about beginning to rethink it. I wasn't advocating for any changes in title names or anything else like I'd have the power, but simply an equal volume of opportunities that are based on skill and not gender. So I did kind of jump ahead a little bit because she alludes to the NXT women's title change, but I think her comments were interesting, especially when she talks about, you know, the women's segment, the women's thing, because that is pretty compartmentalized. And that has been the tradition in wrestling, that you have, you know, women's matches and women's segments. And not only have they been labeled differently, they've been treated differently. And primarily because they have overall felt like they've lacked a different substance in the men's segments and the men's matches. And in general, I mean, from the history of women's wrestling, it has been viewed almost as like a sideshow, as a, you know, a spectacle to have women wrestling. So that's a tradition that's been held for many, many, many years. And that got incorporated into modern wrestling. And even when we look at women's wrestling from, you know, the 80s and 90s, especially WWE and the Attitude Era and the early Divas Era, you know, those women's segments were something else. They were very short, most of the time very comical, but they lacked the seriousness that the men's segments just didn't have. And even then, I think internally, psychologically, people would internalize that, like, oh, it's the women's match, now it's time for me to go to the bathroom. It's the women's segment, oh, now I'm going to go flip the channel. So I think she's right about the psychology element to labeling it, because historically, it's been something that's been viewed as lesser than. And now with women's wrestling becoming just as important, just as prevalent as men's wrestling, there shouldn't be a need to segment them as a women's, you know, match and men's match. They're all, it's all professional wrestling. And for a company like WWE to do that, it then will trickle down to other promotions and just the business in general. I mean, at this point, we all know too, WWE is the business. So if WWE moves forward with something, a lot of other people follow. So it also allows just more opportunity for women to not just necessarily be taken seriously, but it allows them to really pursue more opportunities outside of what women are traditionally known for. So like Becky mentioned, on the covers of cereal boxes and video games. You know, it was a big deal for Becky Lynch to be the first woman wrestler really featured on a 2K video game. And she's lived that. And now she's saying, okay, but let's normalize that, you know, let's continue to have that, and let's have this so it's not an odd thing anymore to see women as strong characters on TV, on video games, and in top spots. So I get what she means by this, and I do think that there has to be a shift, because psychologically we've almost been programmed to it. Greg, I'm really interested in your opinion just on Becky Lynch's comments from WWE backstage.
The comments really resonated with me, because it's so much of what I talked about, and I can't talk about this topic without bringing up my article. That's why I'm bringing it up. It's not like a, yes. Hey, look at me. But I will point out that I published it on December 17th, 2019. But literally what I talked about in the title of the article is WWE needs to rebrand the women's championships. And she's right. Like, what she's saying is exactly right. Like, take a look at, and remember what just happened at this time, at this point in time. We had, they went over for Crown Jewel in the UK. Bray Wyatt became the Universal Champion. He was on Raw. He became the Universal Champion. He was on SmackDown. He became the Universal Champion by beating Seth Rollins. Brock Lesnar was on Raw, on SmackDown, became the WWE champion by beating Kofi Kingston. Brock Lesnar basically said, no, I want to go to Raw. Bray Wyatt ended up moving then to SmackDown to kind of even things out. At that time, we had the WWE Championship held by Brock Lesnar on Raw, and we had the Raw Women's Championship held by Becky Lynch on Raw. We had the Universal Championship held by Bray Wyatt and The Fiend on SmackDown, and we had the SmackDown Women's Championship held by Bayley on SmackDown. We had the NXT Championship held by Adam Cole, and at the time, Shayna Baszler, now Rhea Ripley, was the NXT Women's Champion. And I hated it, because it just, even that crafty scenario where they were able to switch, they were flip-flop the Universal and WWE Champions, you couldn't do that. You still can't do that with the Raw Women's Championship, because the Raw Women's Championship can't go to SmackDown. What I wanted to have was basically a women's, what I called it, a women's WWE champion and a women's Universal champion. I didn't want a WWE women's champion like we had the NXT women's championship. I wanted the women to have a WWE champion. Same with the Universal. This way they can change brands. And basically, I wanted the women's championships to be viewed as just as special and just as transcendent as the men's. And then I, you know, said, hey, I want an Intercontinental Championship too, but that's just me. Because it does appear as less than when you've got a WWE champion and then you've got a Raw Women's Champion on the same brand. Even though Becky Lynch is probably the bigger star company-wise right now because she's a full-time performer and Brock hasn't been, although he has been so far in 2019, it to me, Raw Women's Champion versus WWE Champion seems less than. And less than is a big thing in WWE. They don't want things to appear less than when they're not less than. And that's where I think that Becky Lynch was getting at. And that's why I agree with her so vehemently, because not just because I wrote it before, but because they are equal at this point. The women have main evented WrestleMania. The women have main evented every single pay-per-view, you know, except for one, SummerSlam, in terms of the big four pay-per-views. The women are here. There's no longer a women's Evolution. We don't even need the Evolution pay-per-view. The Evolution pay-per-view was great for novelty, but we're kind of past that now. We're kind of above that. And just like I joked with Patrick, you know, people still call Raw and SmackDown the main roster. WWE is taking huge strides to eliminate that distinction with what happened with Shayna Baszler and with Bianca Belair in the Royal Rumble. The fact that Charlotte is probably going to challenge Rhea Ripley for WrestleMania. The fact that NXT won at Survivor Series and Shayna Baszler won in the main event. The women main evented the Triple Threat match at Survivor Series. Then they main evented TLC. Two straight pay-per-views main evented by the women. No one batted an eyelash about it. That's how commonplace it is. Yet we still have these completely disproportionate names for the championships for the women and the men. And so that's why, yeah, I don't want to, you know, steal your thunder about the next point because I'm pretty sure where you're going. But yeah. To me, Becky Lynch was 100% right in what she was saying, and I completely agree with her. It does hold them back. It does. It's kind of the last thing that's impacting the perception of women in wrestling. Now, in the WWE, now, you remember what happened a few months ago when I was texted a card for an indie show that we were going to be working, and the entire show had lists, man versus man, man versus man, man versus man. You remember how the women's match was listed? You remember?
Yeah.
Girls match!
Girls match.
And I walked around for a month saying, girls match! Because that's the problem that the women have in the business right now. And being termed a women's champion when, or like if Becky Lynch was the Raw women's champion and Brock Lesnar was the Raw men's champion, then I'm okay. I just need them to not be disproportionate. I like this idea better, yeah. But I just don't want, I would probably, because it's confusing to a lot of people what they're doing right now, I would probably have a men's WWE champion and a women's WWE champion. That was my idea. I think this idea may be better than my idea. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out long term. But so yeah, short story long, I agree with Becky Lynch 100%. I was going to buzzer myself for a second there.
Yes, I jumped ahead a little bit with Becky's statement because shortly after she had made her thoughts known on WWE Backstage, and this is still alleged, this isn't confirmed directly by WWE that I understand, that WWE issued an internal decree or internal memo that the NXT women's title would now be referred to only as the NXT championship. So we're moving the women's from that. And a lot of people thought that was, you know, due to Becky Lynch's comments. So that's why she went on Twitter, one, to kind of help defend what she meant about eliminating the word women from women's division. And two, to say that, you know, to her knowledge, she didn't have any direct influence on this supposed change, even though she didn't allude to it directly. She mentioned, you know, I wasn't advocating for any changes in title names, just simply an equal volume of opportunities. And then the rest of her statement goes, the term women can limit openings because phrases like there's already a women's match on the show is still in wrestling's historical DNA. We are all just superstars who want our shots and places on the show if we earn and deserve them. I'd simply love to get to a place where there's three women's matches on a pay-per-view or 10 or none if it so happens we're not serving the audience. So going back to something, I mean, combination of what we've said, too, about a bit of wrestling history that, one, it's always been seen as this side show or this side aspect of wrestling, not real wrestling. So that's one aspect of it. The way that it's framed, even just internally at wrestling promotions, when you have a card lineup that the women's match is listed differently or spoken about differently than the rest of the card. And then also just the amount of women's matches. We are now seeing more women's matches on cards than we have in the past, but it still also feels like there's a limit to women's matches. Whereas men's matches, you know, you have the overall, you know, limit of how many matches you want on a card, but it seems like it's a more delicate thing of how many women's matches do we really want on a card? I feel like that is such a common conversation that happens in promotions. And I'm sure not only in WWE, all over the country, that, you know, they don't want to necessarily have too many women's matches because they don't want it to overpower the men's matches or have more than the men's matches. And I think that's really what she's alluding to, too, is that why is there a limitation on the amount of women's matches on an event or a show and when it's second nature to put as many, men in on the card as possible for, you know, men's matches. And getting away from the history and realizing that it is history is no longer part of the current scenario of wrestling. But again, it's a psychological. We've been programmed, especially fans who have been watching, even just in the past 5 years, you know, you were still on that tail end of the Divas era. And, you know, even most wrestling fans are fans who have been watching for at least 20 years. You know, the average wrestling fan age is, you know, in their 30s to 50s. So we have been more in growing up in a system where we got used to those, you know, more sideshow matches and it not being taken seriously or only seeing one or two women's matches on a card at any given time. And having more than that was just, you know, mind-boggling because you didn't have it. Or the placement of the match on a card was, you know, mind-boggling. I mean, I know for me, one of the biggest moments for female wrestling when I was growing up was Trish Stratus and Lita headlining Raw. I mean, at that point, that was like the mecca. At that point, you thought that was the pinnacle. That was the best that they were ever going to get. I don't think anyone ever thought they were going to headline a pay-per-view, let alone WrestleMania. So it's historically something that we have to really adjust our minds to. And I think a way of doing that is changing the vernacular, you know, removing that and just calling it what it is, which is just wrestling matches.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I think that's where we're headed. And I think that's where the whole deal with NXT is headed. It's interesting. You talked about, you know, whether or not WWE made this official. And even their own stuff is contradictory. Right now, Rhea Ripley is listed on the WWE website on their roster as the NXT Women's Champion. And the belt she's holding is the NXT Women's Championship. However, when WWE confirmed that Rhea Ripley would be challenged by Bianca Belair after Bianca Belair won the Battle Royal, here's the headline. NXT champion Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. Here is what the article says. It's super short, but I want to read it because it just drives the point home. After winning a number one contender's battle royal, Bianca Belair has earned the right to challenge NXT champion Rhea Ripley at TakeOver Portland. I'm going to skip the middle middle paragraph because it doesn't say it. Then the last paragraph. Will the EST of NXT add NXT champion to her resume, or will Ripley continue to overpower her competition? Find out, blah, 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 WWE Network, first 3 month free, all that stuff. The word women doesn't even appear in the entire article. It's just NXT champion and superstars. Like,
well, and that's the beautiful thing about it, though, too, because there are fans who are saying, well, then how do you distinguish between the two champions? Well, you talk about NXT champion Rhea Ripley. That's right. How you know which championship you're talking about. And even in the context of the article that you're reading, it doesn't. You don't need to inundate it with, you know, women's champion. It just says, you know, you can just understand that from what it says in the article. So
yeah,
it's not.
It's all in how you present it. Like, it's literally, yeah. It's so hard right now because, you know, right now a lot of times the announcers are like, it's an NXT championship match. It's Rhea Ripley challenge, you know, defending her NXT women's championship against Bianca Belair. If you just say Bianca Belair is challenging for Rhea Ripley's NXT championship, because it's Rhea Ripley's NXT championship, it's Adam Cole's NXT championship, they're both NXT champions. It should be Brock Lesnar's WWE Championship and Becky Lynch's WWE Championship. One podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network suggested that the women have two Universal titles, one on Raw, one on SmackDown, and the men have two WWE Championships. And I'm listening to this, and I'm yelling, I'm like yelling as I hear it. No, you're still differentiating between the two. Like, it's just, oh, it's so hard for people to not have some form of difference. And that's why I suggested men's WWE champion and women's WWE champion. But then I get, maybe you're marginalizing both if you do that. I don't know. And I guess if you marginalize everyone, you marginalize no one. I don't know. But I don't think it's that hard, that big of a stretch to just have two people be NXT champion, WWE champion, or Universal champion. We know that men and the women are not the same. We know that it's highly unlikely that WWE is going to go down the road of intergender wrestling. And because of all the sponsorships and because a lot of those decisions, even outside of WWE, are still made by old, stupid white men. And so they're not going to want to see intergender wrestling. But to me, it's just, it seems it's a lot easier than people are making it out to be to make this transition. And I think NXT is kind of the testing ground for it. I would not have been shocked if Becky Lynch walked into Royal Rumble as a WWE champion. Like, I kind of expected it to happen, and if I put odds on it, I would have had it over 50%. Come WrestleMania, she probably is going to be WWE champion. Like,
I was going to say, I think they're going to start sneaking that vernacular in, especially on commentary, and maybe test that out like that, and get a feel for the response and get a feel for how it sounds. Because I also think that that's going to be something on commentary that's going to drive things home, is how things are presented, like you just said. So I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if over the next few months we see that transition, whether it's in small steps or one big swipe. Like, it's going to happen. And you brought up a good point about intergender wrestling, because I alluded to this as before we started talking about this and what it means for other promotions and kind of the impact it has on wrestling as a whole. I think a lot of this conversation, and I don't know how intentional it was, but I think the ball really started rolling with what was happening at Impact Wrestling with Tessa Blanchard and Sami Callihan. Not only necessarily just the intergender wrestling, but removing even that title away and making it less about being intergender and it being about two competitors in a match for a title. And so I do think that that's had kind of a ripple effect in wrestling as far as the terminology that's used to describe programs specifically and matches. And I don't know if they realize how much of an impact it has or maybe how WWE has now viewed their own vernacular because of it. Even though WWE is now going to the world of intergender, and Impact seems like that's going to be something they're going to do, it's all about vernacular and the terminology you use to shift the mindset of fans to just viewing wrestlers as wrestlers and not necessarily a women's wrestler and a men's wrestler, but more specifically women's wrestler. They're still being, you know, they still have, you know, an impact of the titles as is. You just happen to have a woman holding their world championship, but no change with title or anything like that. And it doesn't seem like it's any, you know, her reign is going to be any different as far as the way that she's being treated you know, any different than any previous champion. Doesn't seem like, you know, she's going to be tiptoed around or baby, you know, they're going to treat her, you know, she is the top champion. She's going to be treated and being, and expected to defend it as the top champion or the top person. So I think that somehow it interweaves into this. And I don't know if WWE or fans realize that maybe Impact now has had kind of more of an impact on WWE. And this could be my own little strange conspiracy theory, but I don't think a lot of this conversation is happening, of course, with Becky Lynch, but also with what's happening with Tessa Blanchard at Impact.
I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right. WWE is oftentimes reactionary. What they're very smart about is they don't just do what someone else did. They take it to a whole different level, right? So Impact took their championship and put it on a woman, which, by the way, it was never called a men's championship, so it's just a world championship. So
yeah.
We just assumed, because we've been conditioned over decades and decades and decades before any of us were born, that men held this title and women only held a title called a women's championship. And while Impact's not the first one to do it, other promotions have done it. Chikara did it a long time ago. Yeah. They're the highest profile. And so WWE took it a step further and been like, we're just, because TNA still had, or Impact Wrestling still has a Knockouts Championship. And yes. While Eric Young did once win the Knockouts Tag Team Championship, it was horrible and everyone hated it. But because it's the internet and we can't, it's like when a woman played on the PGA Tour, it was great. When a man played on the LPGA Tour, he was terrible. And that's not what we're really here to talk about. But WWE said, how can we take it a step further? And for them, it was, we're just going to remove the distinction, and we're going to test it in NXT, which is great. They test so many things in NXT. I think people forget right now, but the video boards around the ring and on the ring post started in NXT, and now NXT doesn't even get to use them because Raw and SmackDown use them, but because now NXT's got to be different. But to me, I think it was influenced by what Impact Wrestling was doing, and normally WWE has these things in the works forever, and the reason why I don't think this has been in the works forever and it was a quick turnaround is because the website still says NXT Women's Champion. The graphics that they use, when they put up the graphic for Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley, it says NXT Championship, but the title behind them still says Women's across the top. And I noticed that last Wednesday when I was watching the broadcast. I was like, wait, that still says Women's in the background. But I think that's where they're headed. It wouldn't surprise me if maybe Rhea Ripley comes out this week holding the exact same belt that Adam Cole brings out. You know, it's because when you do something really quick turnaround time, it takes some time to catch up with your physical stock and your belts and your graphics and your website and all that stuff. We've seen a disconnect between WWE television and their website in the past, and this to me is one of them. I think it'll get fixed sooner rather than later. And because of the test, maybe that's why it hasn't been fixed. Maybe once this test is over, things will get fixed. I don't know. I guess you could go back at this point in NXT if you really wanted to. I don't think they would ever go back to NXT Champion and NXT Women's Champion. If they went backwards at all, I think they would have a Men's Champion and a Women's Champion. Just like we have a Men's Royal Rumble and a Women's Royal Rumble. They didn't just say, here's a Royal Rumble, and women came out. They still called it the Women's Royal Rumble. They still called it the Men's Royal Rumble. Now, I don't know how NXT would handle that because it's a separate brand. But I do agree with you, to go back to the original point. I would be shocked. I wouldn't believe you. If someone came out, if Triple H was interviewed, and someone said, hey, this is influenced by Impact Wrestling, he's like, no, it's something we've been thinking about forever, I would think he was spinning it. I wouldn't believe him. I think this is absolutely influenced by what Impact Wrestling did, because WWE can't do what Impact Wrestling did because of their sponsorships, because of the TV they're on. So they had to come up with something else, and they did, and this is what they came up with. And given the landscape they have and their business they're in, which is very different than the business that Impact Wrestling is in, I think they came up with the best solution they could, at least for NXT.
I think it's all pieces to a bigger puzzle, though. I think they're everyone's right trying to make these changes, because collectively all of this is going to have a positive impact on, you know, how fans view women in professional wrestling, because I don't think it's going to be one thing. I mean, we've seen, you know, I think a lot of people thought, okay, back when they changed or eliminated the word divas, you know, that's going to be it. Then now women's wrestling is going to be taken more seriously. And it was, but it still took you know, a lot of matches, a lot of good programs, a lot of talented women to get to that point. It also required a lot of star power, you know, to have someone like Ronda Rousey on the roster to get to a WrestleMania main event. And even then, you still have, you know, that mindset and that is in the business and in fans about, you know, just how many matches, you know, should a show have for women, or, you know, the labels of titles and just the perception of, you know, oh, she's good for being a women's wrestler, or those types of, you know, again, it's psychological. And I think that's why each of these elements are going to do something in the long run to help shift the perception for fans that women can have an equal footing and place for in professional wrestling, just like Becky Lynch has done with, you know, everything that she's done. Same thing with Tessa, same thing with Charlotte. Even going back to, you know, in a historical sense, you talked about Chikara, you know, Princess Kimberly winning that. You know, I mean, we have to know a little bit more about that, the history about what other promotions have done, and it's different. But I think that's the only way it's going to work. If all promotions did the same thing, then it almost just becomes a trend and it loses its meaning. But if all these different promotions look at the value of women differently and incorporate it into their company, as they see that it's, you know, it's a good place for to show that, yes, this is, you know, how we really want to give women equal footing in our company, then as a collective, it's going to have a deeper meaning. But again, I think it's also a fan mindset. And I just challenge, you know, everyone, when you think about those things, or if you notice, have you ever thought about those things? Even counting, you know, how many women's matches, or noticing, you know, your thoughts towards a women's match compared to a men's match. Are you viewing them more critically, less critically, even just categorizing and kind of compartmentalizing them instead of looking at them as a collective? And, you know, I can understand that's athletics in general. You have men's basketball and women's basketball. You have, you know, sports that are similar, baseball and softball, things like that, that are always kind of separated, but are viewed slightly differently. But professional wrestling is really one of the few arenas where you can look at wrestlers as athletes as a whole, regardless of gender. So, but again, we have to think about how we view that and how we're receiving that, and, you know, what that even looks like in our daily lives. I think that's a big connotation too about, you know, people in the workplace and education, in family dynamics. It's just a psychological mindset that we have to just be more aware of. But I think it's really interesting and great that companies like Impact and WWE are taking a stance and wanting to provide just not only more opportunities, but really level this playing field for all competitors. Because we've also seen, you know, and talking about this, you know, past Sunday's Royal Rumble, even comparing the two Rumbles, you know, they were very similar in even in cadence, with, you know, the first few minutes and probably like not even a few minutes, you know, 10, 15 minutes, had very similar two people who are very dominant, just eliminating people after people. And then you kind of have the second act, and then kind of a third and final act leading to the winner. It was almost identical to me in cadence. But you saw almost, you know, almost levels of equivalency as far as feeling and thought and dominance between a Bianca Belair and a Brock Lesnar. Still very different in power and strength, but the way that WWE pretty much allowed the both of them to shine through the way they told the story, I think was done very well on both sides.
Yeah, I love the way they did it on both sides. I love, you know, we expected, and most of us could have predicted, what Brock Lesnar was going to do. And we didn't talk about it on the Greg DeMarco show, but it's actually done very well. And right when the fans were getting tired of it, Brock gets eliminated. And so then the crowd gets to pop up again and get high on that again, which is great. But when they did it first with Bianca Belair, we didn't expect it. When she came out number two, we didn't know what was coming. And then she just went on a tear, and all of us as fans of NXT were just going nuts because Bianca Belair, who doesn't quite fit in NXT and was probably not going to become NXT Women's Champion, see what I just said there, NXT Women's Champion, right? Was probably not going to become NXT Champion, is now dominating in the Royal Rumble, and you're like, okay, we see where she can fit. We see what the spot she can have, and it was so exciting to see. And yeah, there were a lot of similarities between the two Rumbles. Because they should be similar. Like, sometimes booking them similar is a bad thing, but Bianca Belair could easily be the Brock Lesnar of her side of the roster. And she's got that kind of athleticism. Maybe not in size, but it's believable that she could dominate people and toss them around like she did because of her athletic background and her athletic prowess. And that was exciting to me, and that was exciting to watch her do that and to be surprised by that. You know, Charlotte winning the Rumble to me was a great moment in the Women's Royal Rumble because that's the one accolade, you know, Charlotte really hasn't had, you know, that and Money in the Bank. And she'll probably get that this summer. Who knows? But it's LOL Charlotte wins, and that's what we do.
Charlotte
but
wins.
She's John Cena did the same thing years ago, and everybody complained about it. So here we go again with the similarities. And it's okay. You know, you've got Becky Lynch, who's completely set the world on fire. And she, we talked earlier about the setup of the 2019 Royal Rumble and the setup of the 2020 Royal Rumble. Well, if you put the cards side by side, Becky Lynch versus Asuka took place in the same position on the card as Brock Lesnar's title defense against Finn Balor last year. So it was perceived and booked and promoted as the top title match on the show. Was Becky Lynch versus Asuka right before the men's Royal Rumble match. So I think really to sum everything up, in my opinion, the nomenclature, the vernacular, as you said, is really just catching up with reality. In my opinion.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point. And looking at the little things too, that's something that I think as fans, we have to be just more aware of. And like you said, you know, match placement. That's something that it didn't dawn on me until you said it, but it's a really good point about how they value that title match. And especially Becky Lynch. I mean, where she has come from in just the past year and a half is, I mean, beyond, I think, what anyone thought a woman could do. Not only just be the biggest women's star, but also just the biggest star on the roster. I don't think anybody thought that a woman could take such a high place on the roster as far as popularity, and she has. And lots of people, though, for years, though, have been saying Charlotte is one of just the best wrestlers, period, on earth. And those are, again, things that we should be more open to saying about, you know, not just being good for being a woman, it's being good in the spectrum of wrestling. So it's going to still take a while. But I appreciate what these companies are doing. And I think each company should evaluate how they plan to do this and what makes sense for them and make it just be genuine and authentic and something that's truly going to help out their rosters. Because also that's important. I am not anyone to hate. I'm not anyone to spread tea. I'm not anyone to, you know, be mean. But I'm hoping AEW is taking notes. I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're, like, in a war room strategizing because I believe they have the intent. They have, you know, the good nature. They want to do good things with their women's division and for women in professional wrestling. It just has not happened. And I've mentioned this before with WWE's that the expectations have been set high for them a lot because they are the world's largest wrestling entertainment company. They have billions of dollars, every resource in the world available to them. So yeah, sometimes fans expect more from them because they have the resources for it. I think AEW has really touted their drive, their inclusive nature, their, you know, being a different product. And especially with the women's division, I haven't seen it. And I haven't seen it a whole lot in the way that they present women on television. So I expect more from AEW when it comes to that than I do with a lot of these other companies, because they have the mindset. The execution is just not there. So I hope 2020 is a year where now, you know, AEW's seen what some of these other companies are doing. I hope you follow this boat. I hope you figure it out, AEW, because I'd love, you know, for them to do something really unique with not only their women's division, but just, again, women on their roster, maybe have them in more equal footing, placement on the card, all of that. But
we got a frozen Miranda. We got a frozen Miranda sitting there with her mouth open. I disagree with part of what Miranda said, by the way, which hopefully she'll be back shortly so she can know this. But I don't think their intention is there. I think their intention is self-serving, and that's been the biggest problem with AEW. This is still a vanity project. I think once they get over that, and I believe they will, then I think that they'll be much better. I think she's coming back.
Reach out to me on social media. I'm available on Facebook. He's still a bit on his social media hiatus, I guess, so he may or may not read you, I don't know, or may even reply, who knows. But you can follow him at Chairshot Gray on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget that you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Even though we may be moving to a bigger house, we still got stuff to sell. So if you are interested in buying a t-shirt to support thechairshot.com, there's over 15 different varieties that you can choose from, whole variety of colors, styles, but let's be real, the best style, the only style you need to worry about is soft style. Treat yourself, get yourself something very nice and comfortable. And again, buy whatever shirt you want. It's a free country. Go with where your heart leads you. That's just really prolific, coming from the heart. And of course, you can always visit thechairshot.com to get all your pro wrestling news, analysis, and opinions.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
By the way, I just want you to know, we only got like half of what you were saying there. You were completely gone for a while, and I was pointing out that I disagreed with you. I don't think AEW is well-intentioned at all. I think it's a vanity project. I think once they get... Well, it's a vanity project. They want to book themselves. They didn't want anybody else to book them. I think once they get past that, and maybe it'll take Tony Khan changing things up, who knows. But when people are booking themselves or booking their girlfriends, in the case of the women's division, that's what's going to happen. One thing that was lost in all of that, though, well, yeah, ouch. Well, the truth hurts. They got my social media stuff, the fact that I'm never on it at Chairshot Greg. No one got yours.
My social media information is on Facebook and Instagram at the hashtag Miranda.
There you go. Okay. That's all. I just wanted to make sure people got that. Our disagreement, not as big of a deal.
Yeah, that's another conversation for another day regarding, you know, AEW and their women's division. Just beating your head up against the wall at this point.
Before we go, I do want to remind people they can also head on over to powerslam.tv and get themselves a free month! A whole free month just because you listen to this show and you know the promo code ChairShot, you can get yourself a free month. Otherwise, you get a free week and then you got to start paying your $6 a month when you can get a free month. And you do that by going to powerslam.tv and using the promo code ChairShot.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
It's powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot. That's powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot. And then this is me waiting for you. Did you like forget you're recording a podcast? Like, what just happened right there?
Hello?
Yeah, we're still having a podcast. Still here. You know what? I think Miranda can't hear now. I bet her earbuds died. That's going to be my guess, is that her earbuds died. So I would like to thank all of you for listening to the Hashtag Miranda Show. I'm Greg DeMarco. On behalf of Miranda Morales, who you should follow at the Hashtag Miranda, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you visiting thechairshot.com and listening to the Hashtag Miranda Show. We will see you right back here next week for another great and exciting show, the Hashtag Miranda Show.
Who's it going to be?
You think you know me?
No, no way. Oh, my!
You got to be kidding me.
The rated R superstar! Edge is here!
You're welcome.